Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
So the book of Ruth, we know according to the Word of God and the canon of the Scripture, follows the book of Judges. If you'll remember, as we studied through the book of Judges, we really centered in on the life of Samson. We looked at several things in it, but I preach more on the life of Samson than anything. But the book of Ruth falls in that time period of the Judges. Of course, the days of the Judges was days of disobedience, days of departure, disloyalty, defeat, despair, and destitution as you study the book of Judges out. As it closes out the book of Judges in verse 25 of chapter 21, it said, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And of course, the book of Judges is a sad time, but right in the midst of a sad time, God has got a little glimmer of hope in the book of Ruth, because Ruth is dealing with the book of Judges. It's during that time period. Matter of fact, the book of Ruth, from what I can study, covers a period of about 10 years in the life of the Judges and in this time period. Now, Ruth is what many have said is the Cinderella story of the Bible whenever you study it out. Ruth is a Moabitish girl that gets introduced to Boaz and ends up marrying Boaz and ends up becoming the great-great-grandmother to King David. And by her, there is the line of the lineage of Christ comes from her. And this Moabitish girl is entered into the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the book of Ruth is the eighth book of the Bible. A lot of things I can say about the number of eight being a new beginning, but for the sake of time tonight, I'm not going to. But can I say this? In the book of Ruth, there is a new beginning. Something new takes place in that this Moabitish girl gets entered in to the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, what a great story, and what a picture of the grace of God that is found in the book of Ruth. Know with me, let me just say this, if you want to look at it this way, there's four chapters. The first one is dealing with how Ruth was sought. The next two chapters, chapter 2 and chapter 3, is how she's taught. And in chapter 4 is how she is bought. Now, whenever you look in chapter number 1, verse number 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled," which is telling us that it is written during the time of the judges. The Bible goes on to say, when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. "And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his family and his two sons." Now, know what the Bible said? There was a time of famine in the land. Now, to me, it's interesting to study that out, because there's 15 famines, or not 15, I'm sorry, there's 13 famines that is found in the Word of God. And that famine was a time of when, it was just a time of destitution, if you want to look at it that way, where it seemed that they was without. Now, there's 13 of them. 13's the number of rebellion in the Word of God. If you'll think about a famine is a time of trouble. It's what a famine is. You know, our reaction to trouble says a lot about us. You've heard me say it many times, but it's real easy to serve God when everything's going smooth and when everything's going right. It's real easy to serve God, but you let trouble come, and we'll see what we're truly made out of. And I want to say this to you tonight. Our reaction in trouble is very important. One said it this way: we can run from it and miss God's purpose for trouble. One said we can endure it and resent God's purpose, or we can use it as a stepping stone to fulfill God's purpose in our life. We find out here that this man from Bethlehem, Judea, ends up running from the famine, and in doing so, he ends up leading his whole family away from God and out of the will of God. For some reason, the Lord has had me on this a lot here lately, that it is definitely the man's place to lead his home in the correct way when it comes to any aspect of life, but especially the things of God. The wives should never be a stronger Christian than the man is. Somebody give me an amen right there. It should be the man. So Elimelech ends up leading Naomi and Mahlon and Chilion, that's his son's names, according to verse number 2, out of the will of God. Now, there's one thing that I have found so interesting in studying the book of Ruth. And that is, and I'm not going to deal with this, but that is that Naomi says that she went out full and she came back empty. Well, if there was a famine in the land, how did she go out full? I tell you the way she went out full. God was sustaining them and taking care of them. And if you'll wait on God, God will take care of you. When we get in a hurry, that's when we get in a mess, and that's exactly what Elimelech does, and he leads his family out of the will of God, and they had what they needed. Hey, you know what David said? David said, I'm not saying the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. If God's done it this long, God will continue to do it, and God will take care of us if we'll just be patient and wait on him. Amen. Now, it's interesting, and man, I got so much. I'm telling you, I can preach 3 hours tonight and never scratch the surface of these four chapters. But it's interesting that the Bible said that he was going to sojourn there in chapter number 1, verse number 1. That word sojourn means this. It's a temporarily dwell. And you know what he's saying? He's saying this. I'm just going to sojourn there. I'm just going to stop by there. And if you're not careful, you'll get your eyes on a different place. And you know, the grass is always greener over the septic tank. Are you with me? You know, the grass can be dead everywhere else, and you can find the septic tank when it's dead. Why? Because the grass is always greener over it. Now, I want to say something. That's the way the devil will paint the picture of this world to you tonight. He'll make you think it's so much better everywhere else. And you'll think, man, I'm just going to sojourn there. I'm just going to stop by. Well, he says he's going to sojourn, but in verse number 2, they ended up continuing there. And in verse number 4, you'll find out that Naomi ends up dwelling there. 10 years. 10 years there. Why? Because they thought everything was better somewhere else. And he ends up leading his family into this mess. Now, what did Naomi lose in Moab? We know Naomi is the wife of Elimelech, and Ruth is the main character. Well, let me back up and rephrase that. God's the main character in the book, amen? But we know it's mainly written about Ruth, but whenever Naomi goes to Moab, that type of the world, and leaves Bethlehem, Judea, there's some things that she lost. Now, a lot of people won't say this. Well, you know what, preacher? She just followed her husband. She did just follow him to there. But after he died, why'd she stick around 10 years? Are you with me? Why? Everybody, some people want to say, boy, I'm telling you, Naomi was a great warrior for God. She brought them back to the house of God. Why'd she wait 10 years to do it? And why did she over and over again tell them not to go with her? She over, and I'll get to that in just a minute if we get that far tonight. So what did Naomi lose there? Well, in verse number 3, the Bible said, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She lost her husband there. She lost her husband there. What did she lose there? In verse number 5, and Mahlon and Chilion died. She lost her sons there. Right, right. She lost her sons. Look what the Bible said. The Bible said, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she were left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. Well, now her husband's not only led her away from God, now he's dead, and instead of her leading her family back to God, she stays there, and her boys now marry into it.
Right.
Are you with me? Now, I know Ruth is going to get rescued out of this, and thank God he shows grace to Ruth. But Naomi should have hightailed it back to Bethlehem, Judea, as soon as something happened to her husband. She was the leader of her home right then because her husband was dead. So she lost her sons. Well, what did she lose? Look in verse number 8. And Naomi said unto her two daughter-in-laws, go return each to your mother's house. She lost her statement for the Lord. They're wanting to go with her back to Bethlehem, Judea. And she says, no, return and go back. Look in verse number 13. The Bible said, let's just pick up verse number 13 right there. It says, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. The hand, she lost the support from the Lord. She said, the hand of the Lord's gone out against me. She lost her serenity. Look in verse number 20. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Call me Mara. What does it mean? It means bitterness. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. She lost her serenity. She lost her satisfaction. Look in verse number 21. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? She lost what? She lost her satisfaction. Why? Because she went out from the hand of God. She went away from God. Now, I just want to show this to you, and I'll move on. I find it very interesting. I find it very interesting. Now, Naomi messes up. Somebody give me an amen right there. Naomi messes up. She should have went back as soon as them boys' daddy died, but she didn't. She should have never told Orpah and Ruth not to go with her. She should have never done that. She should have welcomed them to go back to Bethlehem. I don't know why in the world. Matter of fact, probably at the judgment seat, the blood of Orpah's hands will be on her at the judgment seat because she told them to go back, and Orpah does, and I'm going to preach on her here in about an hour, and she goes back. But Naomi ends up getting things right. She ends up repenting, and she ends up going back. And here's what this is a sign of her repentance. Don't call me Naomi, just call me Mara. But you want to see a picture of the grace of God? Nowhere else in the book do you find her called Mara. Everywhere else, she's still called Naomi. You want me to tell you the reason why? When she humbled herself and come back to God and repented of what she done wrong and admitted she had done wrong, God in His grace forgave her. And she's not called Mara nowhere else. She's called Naomi the rest of the time. Boy, aren't you thankful that when we mess up, that we can run back to a thrice holy God and we can repent to that God and that God in mercy and that, amen, that God in grace, amen, will restore us, amen. So you see that here. You see that here. Well, now let's talk about Ruth a little bit. There's a little bit about Naomi and Elimelech. There's not much to say about Mahlon and Chilion. We're just introduced to them and they die. That's about it. That's about all we know about them. So we looked at Elimelech and we looked at Ruth or Naomi. Let's look at Ruth just a second. There is Ruth's devastation, we find that Mahlon and Chilion died in verse number 5. So Ruth faces this devastation of her husband dying. Then there's Ruth's decision. Look with me in verse number 15. I can't get bogged down here because I really want to talk to you about Orpah. But the Bible said in verse number 15, and she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part me and thee and me." That was her decision. You know what she says? She says, "No, Naomi, I'm following you. I'm going back to Bethlehem, Judea," or "I'm going to Bethlehem, Judea." She didn't even know what was in Bethlehem, Judea. She didn't even know what all she was fixing to get into. He was just told her what was in Bethlehem, Judea. She had just heard what was over there. And you know what she said? She said, "I've heard enough that I believe I'll go with you. No matter what, whether thou goest, I'm going to go. Whether thou lodgest, I'm going to lodge." There was a decision. There was a new path for her feet. There was a new place for her home. There was a new people for her friends. There was a new power for her life. There was a new prospect for her future. Why? Because she decided one day, "I'm going with you." Thank God for the day, July the 20th, 1994, that I decided, you know what? I believe I'll go with the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes. And boy, the decision. Then there's her dedication in verse number 18. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. There was her dedication. That word steadfastly means to be strong, alert, courageous, brave, bold, solid. She said, "I'm solid in this decision." God give us some people that will be steadfast in our dedication. Amen. There's her dining in chapter 2, verse 14. She sits around Boaz's table. There's her dilemma in chapter 3, verse 18. There's her deliverance in chapter 4, verse 10. And there's her development in chapter 4, verse 17. What was it? She gives birth to a son, and his name is Obed. You know who Obed is? He's the worshiper. That's what his name means. And you know what happens in Obed's life? Well, he's the father to Jesse. Right. Right. Are you with me? Right. You know who Jesse's grandma was? It was Ruth. And you know who Jesse's son was? It was King David. And you know who King David's great-grandma was? It was that little Moabitish girl that had been over there in a famine that heard that something better was out there. And she decided one day, "You know what? I think I'll go that way." And boy, look at her now. When you go over to the book of Matthew, guess what? We find one of the five women. It's this little Moabitish girl. Why? Because she made a decision one day to go. Well, what happens? Boaz redeems her. Chapter number 4. Boaz redeems her. He said this in chapter 4, verse number 1. "And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." But you that knows the Bible knows that he ends up not doing it, because Boaz is smart. Now, we talked a little bit about Elimelech. We talked a little bit about Ruth. We talked a little bit about Naomi. Let's talk a little bit about Boaz. He's a smart businessman. You know what he says whenever he wants to redeem? He's fell in love with Ruth now. I'm telling y'all, I could preach 6 months on this. He's fell in love with Ruth now and he's wanting to marry her. But there's a near kinsman, which in typology is a type of the law. And Boaz is a type of grace. And Boaz says, whenever you buy Ruth, or whenever you buy Naomi in verse number 5, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess. You see, he throwed that in there, and that near kinsman says, well, I'm not going to mar my name. I don't want nothing to do with this. And he backs away, and Boaz ends up buying Ruth that day. He redeems her. Well, what was it? It was a personal redemption. He redeemed her. Amen. He redeemed her. What was it? It was a public redemption. He done it at the gates in front of everybody. And there was Tim there. There was the witnesses. And there was Mr. Such a One. Study him out in Ruth. He's interesting. Go home, read it. You'll find him, Mr. Such a One. So it was a public redemption. It was a powerful redemption. You know what? He not only bought Ruth, he not only bought Naomi, watch this, he bought Oprah also. He bought it all. Look in verse number 9, chapter 4. And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's at the hand of Naomi. It was powerful. It was a productive redemption. Why? Because of this redemption, worship was born. And I want you to hear me and hear me well. You'll never worship him until you're redeemed. Amen. You may try to worship the Lord, but you'll never worship him until he's your husband and you're his bride, and the intimacy of that is always the production of worship. Mark her down. It'll always be that way. Well, you know the story, and some ask me, I don't know. I've preached it a couple times here, but several has asked me, preacher, when you get to Ruth, are you going to preach on the shoe again? He draws off his shoe and gives it to her. That was that day, that was sealing the deal. And that shoe reminded Ruth of some things. And I may preach it Sunday night if the Lord would let me. I've had several people ask me to. And if he'll let me, I may preach that message. I haven't preached in a long time. I looked back through it today. And boy, that shoe said some things to Ruth. It said, hey, when Boaz come walking back from that meeting, Ruth was not interested in if he had a dozen roses or a diamond ring. She's interested in one thing. Has he got the shoe? Has he got the shoe? And he did. Amen. Well, let's talk about Orpah for a minute. And we'll go home. All right? I said all that to get here. Orpah. Look what your Bible says. Look with me in verse number 14. The Bible said, and they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Now, and Daddy can correct me right here openly if I'm wrong on this, but from what I can study, besides the mention of her husband in chapter number 4, that's it. That's the end of Orpah's story. We don't hear nothing else about her. That's it. Orpah had the same possibility that Ruth had. Orpah could have experienced the same things that Ruth had. But Orpah missed out on it. I find this interesting. I'm not saying she is, I'm not saying she ain't. I don't know. I hadn't studied it enough yet. It just hit me today. I find it interesting that she kissed Naomi. What did Judas do to Christ the day he kissed him and betrayed him? She kissed him or she kissed her and walked away. Now, I thought about that verse in Acts chapter number 26. I think it's down about verse number 28, where King Agrippa said this, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. You know what? She begins to go, but then she backs up and says, "You know what? I'm just not going to do." Now, again, there's so much that can be said, and I don't know. I asked Daddy this today, and he didn't have no answer. Why in the world did Naomi tell him not to go with her? Why in the world did she do that? I don't know. But I know this, one didn't and one did. Right. Naomi takes Ruth and the rest of the story. Man, and I'm going to show you some of the things that Ruth had here in just a second. But the rest of the story, Ruth is really centered in on. Right. And besides the Lord Jesus Christ, she's the center attraction. I want to tell you something. Orpah could have had the same thing. There was some things that Orpah missed out on by not going. And that's what I want to preach for the next hour on. Some things I'm not going to. I promise you I'm not. Some things Orpah missed out on. I want to tell you something. When you don't go with the Lord, there's some things you're going to miss out on. Are you hearing me? There's some things that you'll miss out on. I remember it's been a couple years ago. It was opening morning of turkey season, and Brother Mark said, "Are you hunting today?" And I said, "You know, Brother Mark, this was the night before." I said, I think I'm not going to. I think I'm just going to sleep in the morning. He said, "Well, man, I'm telling you, I got birds roosted." I don't even know if he remembers this. I'm telling you. "I'll put you on birds in the morning. We'll kill a bird. If you can hit it." And I said, "Well, there's no need in putting if in that." Some of y'all will get that in a little while. He said, "We'll be on birds." And I said, I'm just going to, Leslie's mad at me and said that I need to stay home in the morning, so I'm just going to stay home. Man, it wasn't 8 o'clock, and I got a picture of a bird. And he said, "Man, there was birds all over me. We could have doubled up this morning." And I was sitting there thinking, boy, I sure missed out on it, Brother Tim. Anybody ever invited you to go fishing and you didn't go, and then they call and say, "Man, it's the best day we've ever had on the water. Man, we put 50 fish in the boat, largemouth in the boat, and we was catching them 5-pound and 4-pound. And in the back of your mind, you're going, "Man, I sure missed out on it." You ever not went to church when you could have went to church? And you that watching live feed that's not here and you could have been here, shame on you. Shame, shame. Everybody knows your name because it's posted up there that you're watching. Amen. Live feed is not for you to miss church. Live feed so when you're sick and can't come to church. And by the way, if you didn't, I'll preach to the camera for just a minute. If you didn't come to church because you was afraid of sickness, but you've been anywhere outside of your house this week, then God help you. Amen. Y'all holler amen because you're in here with me, okay? Matt just kicked his leg up. Hope he didn't split his britches like Mater did that night. But that's the truth. Live feed is so when we're sick or we're working, as my daughter is tonight, they can go back and watch it, or those that serve it in teen church can go back and watch it. And you see it start to get on like it did Sunday morning the past 2 weeks, and you're watching it and you're going, "Man, I wonder what it's like in there," because you know you're missing out on it. You're missing out on it. Orpah missed out on some things, friend. Can I show you 7 things she missed out on? I'm just going to throw them out. It's 10 minutes till 7, okay? 8. Watch this. Number 1, Orpah missed out on serving. Look what your Bible says, chapter number 2. Verse number 2. "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Now, I'm just going to preach some of this in typology tonight, okay? In typology. Can I say this? She missed out on serving. There's nothing greater than serving the Lord. Can I just say that? There's nothing greater than being in my heavenly Father, my heavenly Boaz's field, and serving the Lord. There's Miss Maddie, I talked to them before service started, and she said, what are you going to preach on tonight? And I said, I'm going to preach on Ruth. And she said, man. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but that's what I'm going to preach on tonight. I'm not going to change it because you said, man. And I told her, I said, I'm really going to preach on Oprah. And I was telling her about this point of serving the Lord. And I said, you know, Miss Maddie, I said, it really is a joy to serve Jesus. And she said, you're right, preacher, it really is a joy to serve the Lord. Can I tell you what Oprah missed out on? She missed out on serving God. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'd rather serve Him than anything I know. I know it'll be raining tomorrow and it'll be messy tomorrow evening. But boy, I sure am looking forward to getting my Bible and loading my suit up in the truck because I preach in a suit. And I think if you're behind the pulpit, you ought to have a suit plus a tie. On somebody say amen. I'm going to load it up in the truck and I'm going to drive in messy conditions and I'm going to walk into a church and I'm going to open the Word of God, my King James Bible. I'm going to preach the Word of God. It's a joy to serve the Lord tonight. She missed out on that. She missed out on that. That serving the Lord. You know what? It really does pay to serve Him. It really does. You know what? If she hadn't been in the field, He would have never saw her. She hadn't been in the field serving, He'd have never passed by and saw her. Oh, yeah, serving. She missed out on being able to serve, number two. I could preach a long time right there. I'm telling you, it's good to serve Jesus. It's good to serve Him, man. It's great. It's not a duty. It's an honor. It's not I have to. I get to. Amen. Number two, she not only missed out on serving, she missed out on safety. Well, the Bible said in verse number 9, again, I'm going to run through this. Let thine eyes be on the field. Boaz has seen her. Boaz has fell in love with her. Boaz, man, just soon, who is that damsel out there in the field? Watch this, verse number 9. Let thine eyes, and can I just back up? I missed this part. The only reason that Ruth ever served was because she was saved. In chapter number 1, it's Ruth's salvation. She leaves Moab and goes to Bethlehem, Judea. That's where she began serving. The reason Oprah never could serve is because she never got saved. You see those that, well, I got to keep moving, but I'm going to say that. You see those, they come in for a little while and then they're gone. They serve for 3 days and then they're gone. You're like, man, I wonder where they went. Why are they not serving anymore? Maybe it's because they've never been in chapter number 1 and got saved. She missed out on serving. Number two, she missed out on safety because verse number 9, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch her? You know what he said? He says this, I've done told them to leave her alone. You know what he's saying? She's got safety in my field. You remember the story of the book of Job, don't you? What did the devil say? The devil said to God when they was having that conversation, hast thou not put a hedge about Job? You know what he was saying? He said, I can't get to Job. I can't do anything to Job. God, you'll have to let me touch him. And God did let him touch him. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this, Oprah missed out on the safety of the hand of God that could have been in her life. Watch this. What did she miss out on? She missed out on submission. You say, well, how do you get that? Look in verse number 10. This is Ruth again. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? You know what she does? She humbly submits herself to him. Boy, it's really going to pay off. And can I say this? When we just find ourselves out before him, realizing that we have found grace in his eyes, and submit ourselves to him, it's amazing what will happen in our life. Watch this. She missed out. Now, you're going to have to be country to get this, and all right? You're going to have to be country, and I'm going to explain it to you city slickers that don't understand what I'm fixing to say. She missed out on sopping. Oprah missed out. Watch this. Do you city slickers, you won't understand this, but let me try to explain it to you. When I was a boy growing up, my mama used to make homemade biscuits. They wasn't them that went hoop. Are you with me? Wasn't it, and you hit over the counter, or you got out the freezer. She made them homemade. Somebody say amen for homemade biscuits tonight. And there was people in the church that had homemade honey. And she said, hey, you know it's homemade, because they got it and took it to their house and spun it, and it came out. And they brought that honey, Brother Robert. And my daddy taught me how to take a butter knife or a spoon or a fork or whatever you had in your hand and cut you a little jab of that butter off in your saucer. Somebody say amen for a saucer. I'm not talking about them that flies in the sky. And then you take that honey and you'd pour it out. And if there's any cone in it, you'd get a little bit of that out, because that'd make it good and chewy. Good. And you would take your fork or your spoon or your knife and you'd mix that honey and that butter up in your saucer. Anybody hearing me tonight? And then you'd take that cat head biscuit that mama made while you're sitting at the table with your family, somebody say amen, and you would sop that honey up. Brother Charles, you know what I'm talking about. You'd sop that honey up and you would eat it. And boy, you won't talk about good. Praise God. Makes me want to go home and throw guacamole toast out the window. And you may tell you what made it real good was you were sitting with your family around the table sopping honey up and fellowshipping. You say, where in the world did you get that in the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse number 14? And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. I wish they'd have had honey. She'd have liked it a whole lot better. If there's ever been a discrepancy in the King James, that's the only one I'd probably call out. Maybe it was honey and not vinegar. Watch this. And she sat beside the reapers. Watch this. And he, who, Boaz, reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed. In other words, she had all she wanted and left. You know, let me tell you what Oprah missed out on. She missed out on sitting around the table with a heavenly Boaz and sopping up the honey. You know, let me tell you what I like whenever we come down to the house of God and the heavenly Boaz sets the table. Boy, we can take the word of God and sop up the honey and fellowship with our family. Boy, she missed out on that. The world really don't understand what they're missing out on down at the house. She missed it out, man. She missed out on that. Watch this. What did Oprah miss out on? We're on number four. I got seven. Number five, there's still some grace. Watch this. She missed out on supply. Look what the Bible said in chapter 2, verse 16. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. You know what he says? Boaz says this. She was a gleaner. She came behind them and got the scraps practically. And you know what he says? Whenever you see her, just throw out a handful on purpose. She was sufficed. She was getting sustained Are you with me? But you know what he says? He says, just throw out a little bit more. Just throw out a little bit. Give out some handfuls on purpose. You know what he was saying? You make sure she's taken care of. Thank God, I sure am glad that our heavenly Boaz. Oh, yes, he meets every one of our needs. But you know what? Every one of us sitting here has a lot of handfuls of purpose in our life. Amen. She missed out on that, man. What did she miss out on? Well, chapter number 3. I'm about done. I'm not about done, but I'm going to wrap it up. Chapter number 3, verse number 3, the Bible said, wash thyself. Naomi's telling Ruth to prepare to go in to talk to Boaz. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And the story goes on. She ends up going in and sitting at the feet of Boaz, and Boaz recognizing her. That's where the wedding ends up taking place. Watch this. Watch this. Orpah missed out on sitting. I'm glad that we can serve him. I'm glad there's safety. I'm glad that we can submit and humble ourselves to him. I'm glad that we can sop up the blessings of God. I'm glad that there's supply. There's handfuls of purpose along the way. But I sure am glad every once in a while we can just come apart from the hustle and the bustle of this life. And we can find ourselves sitting at the feet of our heavenly Boaz. When nobody else is around, oh, I know there's others sitting around. But, you know, he treats me like I was his only child every once in a while. And I'm glad every once in a while, my wife's not around, my kids are not around, you're not around. I'm just in my office, I'm riding up the road, I'm on a bicycle, I'm running. It can be anywhere. Just all of a sudden, the Father allows me to sit down at his feet. And we get to have that one-on-one. Everywhere else, it's been in public. But right here, she's in private with him. She's, amen. She's seated with him. Orpah missed out on that, man. This world just don't know what they're missing out on. Thank God for the times that we can sit at his feet and it's just us and him. Well, what did she miss out on? Here's what she missed out on. Chapter 3, verse 18. The only reason I didn't outline it through chapter 4 is I run out of time. Chapter 3, verse 18. I think we can conclude here. She missed out on serenity. Look what the Bible said in verse number 18. Then said she, sit still, my daughter. Ruth is come back to Naomi. Naomi asked her in verse 16, who art thou, my daughter? It wasn't she didn't know who she was. She was asking her to see if her and Boaz was fixing to get married. Who art thou? Are you Miss Boaz or are you with me? Boy, there's a lot right there. Verse 18. Then said she, sit still, my daughter. He has told her about the near kinsman. He said, I've got to go work on that. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. You know what she says, Miss Daniel, will you come start playing softly? She says this, you just need to calm down. Everything's going to be all right. Boaz has got everything under control. That word serenity means serene. That word serene means this, calm, peaceful. Tranquil. It means, the word tranquil means free from commotion. Free from or unaffected by disturbing emotions. You know what she's saying to her? She's saying, can I just put it in our terminology? Just chill out. Everything's going to be all right. Everything, the man said he was going to take care of. It's going to be all right. You know what this world is missing out on today? Serenity. The peace of mind. Yeah, this world is going crazy. Oh, let me say that again. You should have said amen on that, okay? This world is going crazy. This world's going to hell in a handbasket. I'm telling you, this world's going crazy. You said, preacher, is it going to get any better? I don't know if it is or not. I just be real honest with you. Said, preacher, you think Trump's going to win the election? I don't know if he will or not. I hope he does. You said, that offends me. You needed to be offended if that offended you. I hope he does. But you know what? He may not. God might just be setting all this up. He might just be letting her get worse and worse and worse, because it's going to get to a point one day a man's going to step out on the scene with a bow and no arrow as a sign of peace and say, hey, I've got the answer to everything. Take this mark right here. Everything will be all right. And you know what's going to happen? A majority is going to take the mark of the beast and be condemned to hell. Are you with me? You said, preacher, I just don't know if people ever do that or not. Back her up to 2020 and see how many would have got on a train and rode it out of here if they said they could have took you to an island somewhere that didn't have the China virus on it. And let me just go ahead and chase that rabbit real quick. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, the rich man will eat a popsicle before we shut the church down again. You can put the rest of all that together in a little while. Because there's a cold going around today. I'm not shutting the church down. Somebody can holler, amen. That's what they want us to do, but it ain't going to happen. Amen. Said, preacher, you've been preaching good. You got the medal. No, I'm still preaching real good. I'm going to tell you something. That man's going to step out on the scene and say, I got the answer to everything. And the majority of everybody's going to follow. But you know what's going to happen? Before all that happens, just sit still. He's not going to be in rest until he's got it finished. Amen. I tell you what's going to happen. He's going to come back and get us. This world is not it. My hope is not in this world. My hope is not in an election. My hope is not in a Democrat or a Republican. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, my heavenly Boaz. And tonight I can stand and say, it is well with my soul. There is a serenity inside of me. There is a calmness. Why? Because of my heavenly Boaz tonight. She said, hey, Ruth, just settle down. Everything's going to be all right. Orpah never knew anything about that. And there's a world today that knows nothing about that. You know what? I sure am glad that I can say I know something about it. Amen.